Hey, everybody, and welcome to this no-nonsense, no-frills, no-music bonus episode. As I mentioned on last week's follow-up, we're continuing to dig through tons and tons of these interviews and reports, and they're all related to the Javier, Jacob, Austin kind of friend group. This week's main episode is going to be an interview with Jessica Henry, who we heard in Alex Boulon's interview. But as I said, I don't want to skip any of this. I want to get all of this information out for everyone to listen to who wants to, because that's how this all works. That's how the crowdsourcing model works, is that, you know, with so many eyes and ears on this case, we can find things that were missed originally. You guys can find things that I missed. But instead of, you know, going week by week by week, which was, obviously we'll still do that with some of them, but in Nick Crum's case, you heard this week, my full interview that I did, my recent interview I did with him just a few weeks ago. He did talk to police a couple of times before that, back in 2015. And so as promised, I'm going to be dropping those in as bonuses. That way, if you're sick of listening to all these police interviews, you can just wait until Sunday. But if you're one of the many folks who just want as much as I can give you, this is just another interview. Again, no frills, no nothing. I'm not even putting music on this. I'm just going to put this episode out for you guys to listen to. And tell me what you think. I'm trying to get them both out by this week. You know, imagine what I'm doing right now is putting together four episodes in 1 week. So hence the no music and stuff like that. But I'm going to try to get another one. He did one more interview about a year later. I'm going to try to get that one up probably on Thursday this week, so that by the time the follow-up airs, you'll have all that information. I also want to tell you, too, and you'll kind of get this as we're progressing through the week, I posted a report on our website that is from when the detectives went to Circuit City and talked to Bo and Nick's boss and verified their times that they were working, their timesheets attached there. And what you'll notice is that Nick was working on Monday, Bo was not. There's some other conflicts in there too. It says in there that Bo and Nick both gave statements alibiing Javier, but we don't have any reports indicating that. And we have Nick saying that he's never alibied Javier, and we've heard Bo's interview, and he doesn't alibi Javier. So there's a lot of things I'm trying to piece through. I'm in contact with Nick. We're trying to, I think he's blending some memories of a couple of days, so there's a couple of issues there. And then even as far as when Nick was spoken to, what you're going to hear this week in Jessica Henry's interview, you'll hear a mention by Detective LeClaire, who says, oh, I should talk to, if I talk to Nick Crum again, indicating he's already spoken with him. And there's spots in the police file that you'll see coming up in the next couple weeks, or maybe even this week if I get a chance to get them out to you guys, where some of the reports indicate that it very clearly says that the records show that Nick Crum was interviewed and gave a statement back in 2006, and then the next report says he was never interviewed in 2006. In this interview you're going to hear today, he says, I was wondering why you guys never talked to me back then, or I think the officer says you never talked to me back then. But then you heard Nick say on the interview he just did with me, that he did. He actually went to the police station and gave a report. So I just want you guys to know that I'm aware that all this stuff is up in the air, the conflicts with the time cards, all that stuff. We're working through all of that on the fly this week. It's kind of, if you're listening to these bonus episodes this week, you'll get to hear a little behind the scenes of, my tracking with my week as I'm trying to figure this stuff out. But in the meantime, take a short break. And this was the Nick's March 25th, 2015 interview with police.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Ford Ranger, a vehicle for all terrains and every passion. It's a workmate, a playmate, and to its drivers, a soulmate. So how do you improve the Ford Ranger? You go all in. The all-new Ford Ranger, the UK's best-selling pickup. Now available with rear bumper steps, tailgate workbench, and enlarged load box that can fit a Euro pallet. Go break it in. Search all-new Ford Ranger. Ford Pro. Driving productivity. According to SMMT data, features may be optional extras with additional cost.
Today's date is Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. Time is 16. contact with Mr. Nick Crum.
How's it going?
No complaints. Hey, you're over in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know it's getting a little bit later over there than here, so I try not to keep it too long. But
it's only an hour difference. So.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shows you how much I know about geography. Hey, but at any rate, the reason I'm calling is I'm taking you back. I know back in 2006, the murders up in Pinyon Pines with Becky Friedley and her mom's boyfriend had occurred. And in the process of that, you know, this investigation has gone through lots of different detectives, and now I have it. So I've been reviewing the books and everything, and I noticed, and it was actually brought to my attention that you hadn't been interviewed. So,
yeah.
So here we are. So basically, all I wanted to do, Nick, is just kind of have you run some history by me, and then there was just a couple of pointed questions that I wanted to ask you, and that was it. So, but.
Okay.
I see you joined the Army, and you're presently there. I had an opportunity to read one of your soldiers' letters back 2 years ago that you wrote. Very, very interesting. To say the least, very interesting things that you've encountered. But
was that that one with the Year Without War or whatever it was?
Let's see. This one says On War and Peace, War Letters. Let's see.
Yeah, I think that's what A Year Without War was the name of the organization. They asked me to. I knew the girl that worked for them, and she asked me if I could describe my day-to-day life in Afghanistan. So.
Gotcha. Okay, so that was Miss Kate then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very intriguing, man. I mean, I don't know what type of a category to put on it, and forgive me if I'm downplaying it, but that's amazing stuff, and bless you for what you do, brother. Yeah. So, but at any rate, like I told you, the reason I'm calling you is, you know, just trying to go over the information.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I had talked to a PI
like, okay.
A couple months ago.
Is that right?
And he never called me back. I talked to him, and then I ended up changing my phone number because I switched from Verizon to a cheaper provider.
Okay.
And I called him and gave him my number, and he never called me back, so I didn't know what was going on with that.
By chance, and remember, I'm from the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, so do you remember who this person was, the name?
Well, I can't remember his name. I want to say, I know the Hispanic last name, but I can't remember.
Maybe Belongs.
I don't know. I know Bo Nash was the one that kind of linked me up with the guy and told him about me.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm doing the sheriff's work, you know, and just seeing if there's anything that we can, you know, press forward with and give to the district attorney's office. That's basically what that is. So just so you know who I am and who I represent. So,
okay.
So hey, if you don't mind, just go ahead and kind of give me a recap of what you can recall about, you know, the murders when they happened and what it was that you might have heard.
So. The night that the murders happened, I was with myself, Bo Nash, and our buddy Alex Fulon, and I think we were with Corey Donovan.
Okay.
And we were waiting for Becky to get off work because she worked at Denny's right down the road there by the little satellite sheriff station right there, the Palm Desert Sheriff. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for her to get off work because we're supposed to link up with her and go out and go to a little party basically.
Yeah.
And we're calling her, and she didn't answer the phone. We didn't think anything of it. We're like, oh well, let's go over there and we'll get some food, and then pick her up and then go on about our business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we showed up over there, we asked where she was, and her coworker said that she never showed up for work. So we didn't think anything of it. We're like, maybe she's, you know, called in sick or whatever, just was sick and didn't show up, whatever, we don't know. And then it was the next day, I worked at that Circuit City right there in Palm Desert that closed down.
Yeah.
That was when we found out, because me and Bo, we both worked on the computer department.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we had two detectives, I guess, came in, and that's when we found out that about the murders up there.
Oh, so you were notified by detectives?
Yeah, and they had questioned Bo, I know that,
mm-hmm.
And then Javier asked, or Javier Garcia had asked if Bo could give him a ride up there. He's like, I want to go see what's going on. And so they, I guess he gave him a ride up there, and I can't tell you what happened there because I wasn't with him.
Okay, you were still at Circuit City.
Yeah, but like I said, I never like you said before, I never got interviewed, so I didn't think anything of it. I figured maybe just they didn't want to talk to me about it. So, but it was shortly after that you know, Javier's mom, was it Bonnie?
Yeah.
She had called all the friends basically over to her house and gave us like a little speech basically on the, you know, oh, I know this is a hard time for you guys and blah, 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 and that thing. But, I mean, I knew Becky, but I wasn't like real close to her. Mm-hmm. But, so, I mean, I was distraught by it, but not like tore up like Javier was, you know?
Sure, sure.
But, so she kind of gave us that whole spiel and then we kind of went on about our business. But then it was shortly after that I started noticing just weird behavior from Javier. And that was like, we were all at a party one time and we're drinking and stuff. And then he pulled out his phone. He had an old, one of those old Sidekicks, the little ones that flip out or flip forward and stuff. And you can text underneath.
Okay.
And he said, he was going through, like, scrolling through pictures of him and Becky on his phone, and you know, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, well, he was real close to her. He was, like, sure, basically in love with that chick. And he said something to like, oh, you know, I was like, you know, I tried to kind of comfort him a little bit, and he started scrolling through, and that's when I noticed he had a picture of a wheelbarrow in there that was, like, all burnt and stuff, and I was like, what the hell is that, dude? And he goes, oh, that's the wheelbarrow that she was burned in, and I was like, Why the hell would you have that?
Wow.
And he goes, oh, it's just, you know, to remember her by. And I was like, dude, why the hell would you want that to remember her by? I was like normally people want something like a good memory, you know,
yeah,
not
yeah.
the wheelbarrow she was burned in, you know?
Yeah.
And he would just, I don't know, he would disappear and go up to Pinyon Pines all the time. And I guess he'd just go hang out and, like, sit at the house up there. And he always said, oh, I'm up there talking to Becky. He started getting real weird because I was just talking to Becky. And I'm sitting there like, dude, yeah, Becky's dead, man. You ain't talking to her, you know?
Right, right.
And me, I mean, obviously it's just speculation, but me and Bo were, I was like, no, that guy was up there probably combing the area to see if he left anything behind. Because me and Bo thought it was him. Me and Bo thought it was him from day one.
Okay.
Like, well, not day one, but once he started acting real weird and we started noticing just, you know, the strange behavior, you know?
Sure, sure.
And there was a couple other times. His I think it was his cousin. I can't remember the kid's name.
There's a cousin named Jacob.
Yes, that one. Jacob Santiago. I guess so Becky was kind of a flirt.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always flirt with pretty much everybody in the group, you know. Just,
okay, right.
It was a normal occurrence. Mm-hmm. But Javier was like, he didn't take it as flirting. He was like in love with that girl. But she would always kind of tease him and stuff, and then nothing would ever happen. Like, she kissed him a couple times, and then that was it. And nothing would ever happen with it.
Yeah, I was told that he was kind of caught in the friend zone.
Yeah, basically, for lack of a better term, yeah, he's caught in the friend zone. And so she started dating Jacob. And like I said, this is all hearsay. I didn't actually witness this, but I guess they got her and Jacob got into an argument. And then it was just kind of weird that like a week or so after they got in an argument, that she turns up dead.
Yeah.
And then after that, we went down to Jacob's house and we were hanging out. And again, I hung out with Bo and all them. I wasn't a big fan of Javier or his cousin because they were just weird. They were strange guys. But especially the two of them together. But we were all over at Jacob's house because they were having a little party over there, and I went with everybody else. And Javier asked me, he's like, hey, man, can you help me with something real quick? And I was like, yeah, whatever. He's like, I just got to get something out of the trunk. And we went down there, and it was – when he opened up the trunk, there was, you know, some fuel cans, a couple shovels and some trash bags, which I mean, at the time I didn't think anything of it. And even now I'm like, somebody might have fuel cans in the back of the car. It could have been nothing, you know?
And whose car was that?
That was Jacobs. That was his old, or not Jacobs, sorry, that was Javier. It was his old Dodge Intrepid.
Okay, so you saw in Javier's old Dodge Intrepid a gas can, and you said what else?
So there, I think there was two shovels and some trash bags, which, I mean, it didn't strike me as weird at the time, but then I started thinking about it, and I was like, man, if it was him, you know, he's got the fuel can probably right there in the back of his trunk. But
so,
I mean,
was this after the murders, or was this?
This was after, yes.
Okay. Do you think he wanted you to see that?
I don't know.
Do you remember what it was? Go ahead.
I don't remember. I think we were just going out to the car to get like some beer or something.
I see.
But it wasn't even in the trunk of the car. When he opened the trunk of the car, he kind of opened it and was like, "Oh, it's not in here," and he closed it back down and then went to the back seat. You know.
I
don't know. Maybe he
did. You say anything about that?
I don't know. No, I didn't say anything about it because I was like, you know, if he did do it and he's crazy enough to do that, I don't want to get in his way. You know.
Yeah. No doubt. By chance.
Especially now, I mean, I'm married, and I got my daughter, and I got my son on the way. So it's like, man, I don't want to. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no
but,
doubt.
But and then there was just, I don't know. We thought it was kind of weird that shortly after Becky's murder, he moved. He moved out of town. I think he went up to Sacramento, and then from there, I don't know where he went, but I hadn't talked to him in a while. And then I was back in Palm Springs. I had just got back from Afghanistan my first time, and I linked up with Bo, and we were hanging out, and Bo got a phone call, and he said, "Hey, that was Javier. He wants to come hang out." And I was like, "What? I haven't seen that guy in like 2 years. Why the hell would he want to hang out now?" And then the first thing he said when he got in the car with us was, "Oh, hey, man, you remember that whole thing with Becky?" And started, like, he was just, like I said, man, he's just a weird guy. I don't know if that's just, he's just weird, or if he had something to hide, or what. But, I mean, to this day, I still think it was him. And then the PI that I talked to a couple months back, he had said something that, oh, the FBI said that he wasn't a suspect because they weren't getting pings from his phone in that area. And I was like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me if I want to go kill somebody, all I got to do is leave my phone at the house?
Yeah. No kidding.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to take anything that's going to lead back to me to begin with, so that doesn't make any sense. Just because his phone wasn't pinging from that area,
right,
doesn't mean he wasn't there.
Yep, exactly.
And then with the whole thing with Robert, like, I used to hang out with Robert and Christian in high school, but then once we graduated high school, we kind of split ways, and I never talked to him again. I guess Christian's in the military, too.
Right.
But I've never ran into him or anything in the military. But, you know, it was just kind of, I know that he, Robert dated Becky in high school. And it was weird that they thought it was them. Because, and even the evidence that they had, from what I was reading basically on all the news reports, because as soon as I heard about it, I've been like looking it up like once a week, trying to see if there's anything new going on, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, the stuff is about what, a shoe print? I mean, a shoe print and a Glock and a shotgun. I mean, those are like the two most popular weapons in the United States, was probably a Glock and a shotgun.
Right, right.
And then a shoe print, I mean, he dated her. Mm-hmm. He's probably got shoe prints and fingerprints all over that house. That was my thought process.
Okay.
But
yeah, that definitely stands to reason.
But I mean, to this day, I still believe that it was Javier. If not Javier and Jacob, then Javier. But I mean, like I said, I didn't really have a whole lot of information on it. But and even now, it was 6 years ago, so I'm trying to rack my brain to remember what I can. But
you know, I get the feeling from people that Javier was kind of, and I to this day I haven't met the guy, but he was kind of the way they categorized him, they didn't think he had the intestinal fortitude to do something like that. I mean, anybody can do anything, but I mean, that seems to be the common thread, that, you know, he just wasn't strong enough to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean. Well, I mean, yeah, that's, I guess I could be, he could be construed as that, but I mean, then again, those crimes of passion, people do crazy things when, you know, they don't get what they want, you know, I mean, that's, but, I don't know, I just, that's my opinion.
No, and I really appreciate
the opinion, but
I do appreciate that. I do have a question for you, though, when you were kind of talking about Javier and Jacob being weird. I don't know if you can elaborate on that or kind of give me a little more information on what how you define their behavior.
I used to smoke before I came to the Army, you know, and I would go buy stuff from them every once in a while, and I'd walk in the door, and hey man, let me get like, you know, a gram or whatever, and he'd be like, oh, that'll be 20 doll hairs, brother. He was just a strange individual.
Okay.
He never said dollars or like doll hairs. He just acted weird, mm-hmm. especially around his cousin. I just didn't like him. You know how it is. You just get that vibe from somebody. You're like, man, this. But I mean, I guess it's.
How about violent?
I haven't hung out with him in a long time, so I can't really elaborate too much because I haven't seen him in so long to.
Right. Well, do you ever recall either one of them having, you know, like, you know, getting physical, violent, you know, assaulted? You know what I mean? That type of behavior.
Not really around me, but I know that I know that he would get real jealous. He got real jealous for a while, or Javier did, when she started dating Jacob, because obviously Jacob's his cousin. He was like his best friend. They hung out all the time, mm-hmm. and it was a girl that he wanted and couldn't have, and then she started dating his cousin, and he did get really jealous because he had said something about it. He was upset about it for a while, and they stopped talking for a little bit.
When you say they stopped talking, who stopped
Jacob
talking?
Jacob and Santiago, or Jacob and Javier stopped talking for a little while once they started dating, and that was it. Was just you could tell he was distraught about it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right. And you know, you had also mentioned that Becky and got into an argument with Jacob, and then a week later,
yeah,
she's
like
gone.
I said, I don't know too much about that. That's just what I had heard. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to speculate on that and give false information.
Of course.
I that's what I heard.
Yeah.
I
do
don't
you remember
know what it was about? Or,
yeah. Do you remember who you heard it from?
I want to say it was from Corey.
Okay, but you're just speculating. You don't remember for sure if that's
I don't.
That's who you heard it from.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember for sure, but I just thought it was strange that they got in an argument, and then a week later she winds up dead at her house. But then and people were even my parents still live down in the desert, and they even said like it doesn't seem like a job that a 18-year-old kid could do. I was like, why? Well, because they're like, it looks like a professional job. And I was like, how does it look like a professional job? Because the house got set on fire. Anybody who watches a TV these days pretty much knows how to get rid of evidence thanks to CSI and all these
True.
Other freaking shit.
Hell, even so on YouTube now.
It's not hard to. Everybody knows that fire burns everything, mm-hmm. including evidence.
Yep.
So, I mean. I don't know. I just
now when you talk to in the days or weeks after Becky and her mom and her mom's boyfriend were murdered, you said that Bonnie Javier's mom kind of organized all the friends together there, and you were there too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And basically, I mean, what was the purpose of her meeting, having you guys together, and if you can recall what her message was?
It was basically just like, you know, I know this is a hard time for you guys kind of thing. Like, you know, basically like a feelings session, basically, you know, okay. I guess the best way I could put it, just trying to get your feelings out there. And then, you know, she said something to the effect, like, you know, they're working to catch who it was and blah, 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 blah. But the funny thing that I thought was weird about it was Javier wasn't there for it. And I was like, "Where's
he? Was not
there.
Son?
Are you gonna call? No." I was like, "Why are you gonna call us here?" And he's not there. Mm. I guess he was in the house, but he wasn't there in the little circle of people that she was trying to talk to. I guess he was in his room or something because he was too upset to talk about it.
I see. Did it seem like she was trying to cast out any other type of a message or anything like that, or?
It basically, I mean, the way I look at it, like, I didn't, like, again, like I said, I didn't see it at the time, but now looking back at it, it's almost like she wanted to, it almost seemed like she wanted to talk to us to kind of like, because at that point, I think me and, there's a couple of us that had already talked about thinking it was him. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, she was kind of like sitting us down to talk to us to make it kind of like that, was it like some reverse psychology, basically making us think that, oh, well, you guys need to, this is the time when you need to be closest as friends and stuff like that, and your friends need you, and basically, you know, the gist I got from it was basically like, hey, don't stop being friends with my son because you think that he did it kind of thing. She didn't say that, but that's basically what I think of, thought about it afterwards, is like, why is she getting us here trying to talk to us about this? Like, it's not a normal occurrence in my house anyway. You know, my parents wouldn't do something like that.
Yeah, that is a little bit strange, but I guess that was an extreme circumstance too. But so I appreciate that. Just a few more questions for you, and I'll let you get going, because I know you've got other things going on. But you've pretty much gone down the line of the list of friends and acquaintances that, you know, you were affiliated with, you know, around that time. I was curious, do you recall Jacob, if he had a roommate, and in fact who he was and what you recall about him?
He did have a roommate, and I... One second. Sorry, get in your kennel. My dogs are going crazy over here.
It's their time now.
He did have a roommate, and to be honest with you, I can't remember. I couldn't even tell you what it looks like.
Okay.
So I only went over their house a few times.
Well, I was familiar with the roommate by the name of Austin. And I don't know if you remember that. That name rings a bell.
No. Like I said, I only was over there maybe three or four, maybe like a handful of times. Mm-hmm. And I never really, when I was there, I just kind of hung out with, I didn't meet new people when I was there. I still kind of hung out with my group of friends. Because mm-hmm. like I said, I really didn't like Jacob. I thought he was more strange than Javier was. So I didn't like him. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of, I was like, I'm not going to say anything because we're at his house, but I'm just going to hang out over here and mind my own business, you know?
Gotcha.
But I do remember he did have a roommate, and it was some little, like, apartment complex in Palm Desert. It was off 111.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly where it was at, but I know it was over there. Mm-hmm. But, I can't remember. I know he had a roommate, but I can't remember who it was.
And if he did have a roommate, what's the possibility or the chance of the odds of you and him talking and hanging out? Or
probably slim to none, because if I hang out with you, I'm pretty much gonna remember, at least if I don't remember your name, I at least be able to, oh yeah, it's what's his name, the dude with the tattoos, or what, you know, something that I could at least remember a face, but I can't remember who that is.
Yeah. Well, on a side note, as far as like the, you know, the ladies in the circle, you know, we've talked about Becky, of course, but were there any other young ladies that also frequented, you know, Becky that you're aware of, or Jacob, or? I got you working here, don't I?
Yeah. I know there was. There's probably two or three girls that would hang out with us. I know when we would go up to Nick, because we used to go up to Nick's house. Nick Corline. He lives up in Pinyon Pines, or he did. He actually lived like right down the road from Becky, and he always had, like, every time he had a little party up at his house, he would always have some different like girls and stuff over there, but. Not that I can. I know there was, I think one of them, I think there's one girl named Sadie, but I don't think she had anything to do with it. Because she never really hung out with us outside of Nick's house. Mm-hmm. And then there's one other girl that Corey Donovan dated for a while. Mm-hmm. And she kind of hung around a little bit. She knew who Becky was, but I don't know if they ever hung out with With Jacob and them.
Okay.
That I don't know.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you know, you talked about after Becky's death that, you know, Javier wanted you to come outside with them and, you know, help him get something out of the car. Maybe it was beer, and you saw the gas can and the shovels and the trash the trash bags in the trunk of his Dodge Intrepid. And you remember what color the car was?
I know it was a darker color. I can't remember the exact color because he totaled it one night. I guess he was driving it drunk in Pinyon Pines when we were at a party in Nick Coraline's house.
Oh.
And that was after, I believe that was after Becky was killed, and he just disappeared from the party for a little bit. And we were just assuming, you know, like, dude, he's probably up at freaking Becky's house again. Because he's, you know, he used to go up there all the time. Just go up there and walk around and talk to Becky, I guess, is what he was doing. But he ended up hitting a tree or something with it and crashed the car, so it went to the junkyard.
Yeah, that's a message there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when
that's exactly what me and Bo said. We're like, dude, that's kind of weird that he had that stuff in his car, and now he crashed it into the junkyard, and the car's gone.
Yeah, that is interesting. And you're sure? I mean, is there a possibility that might have been somebody else's car at a different instance?
No, I'm 100% positive because he had that car in high school, and I've ridden in it before. Okay. I'm 100% positive it's his car.
Yeah, and if you can remember, you know, take me back about when was that? I know you said it was after, but, I mean, was there a party? Was there a ceremony?
It was a party up at Nick Coraline's house up in Pinyon Pines.
So that's where you saw
it? Yeah.
Okay.
And that was... Or no, sorry, when I saw the gas cans and stuff?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, that was at Jacob's house.
Right.
We were all over at Jacob's, and that's when I saw that out in his trunk.
Okay.
And then he crashed the car like a week or so after that up at a party at Nick Coraline's house in Pinyon Pines.
I see. Okay. And my question was do you, like, I mean, what was the event that you were over at Jacob's house when you actually saw, which you explained to me, the gas can?
I don't remember. We used to just go over there and drink and smoke because I would go over there with Bo or somebody else, and they hung out with Javier and them, so I ended up
just kind of
riding with them half the time, and I was just kind of guilty by association at that point, you know?
And that was a semi-regular occurrence then, right? So, I mean, as far as honing down a week or month, you know, or time of the year, you can't really recall that?
No.
But it like wasn't like a year later. It was.
No. It was shortly after. I'd say within a month.
Okay. Got it. All right. Hey, I have just a couple more questions for you, Nick, and I'll let you get going. But
okay.
One of the things that I needed to clarify with you is that I learned that you might have established. An acquaintance with Jacob's roommate. His name happened to be Austin. I don't know if that rings a bell or not. Doesn't sound like it does right now.
No.
But one of the instances that I was told about was that the roommate, this guy named Austin, claimed to have a shotgun in his apartment, and he wanted to show everybody that shotgun. Do you recall that?
I don't, honestly. Trying to think. Austin was his first name?
Yeah.
Do you have a last name?
Alba.
I can't. Alba?
Mm-hmm. Alba.
What?
If you don't remember, you don't remember.
Did somebody tell you what kind of car he drives? Did he drive a Nissan Frontier?
They did tell me, and no, it was not. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. There was one other guy that I used to hang out with that group that I actually liked and I hung out with, but he had a Nissan Frontier, and he had a girlfriend that was always with him. So, I mean, and he never had any issues with Becky or anything like that, but I don't remember.
Okay, well, a car associated would be like a Ford Crown Victoria, one of those older police car-looking ones.
No, I don't. The only Austin I knew was... Austin Knutson that I went to high school with, and I never talked to him outside of high school.
Gotcha. Okay. So then,
the only Austin I've ever known.
Well, let me tell you what I read, and maybe you can give me some clarification. Apparently, sometime back in your youth while you're at a mall or a shopping center or something like that, you got into a disagreement with a female, a young lady, and she walked off. And then after she walked off, this guy, Austin, walks up to you and says, "Hey, you're having a problem with her? You want me to say something to her or do something to her? Because remember what happened to the last girl I hated." You remember anything like that?
Oh, shit. I do remember that. I don't remember who I got into an argument with. I think it was my ex. I think it was my ex-girlfriend, Jessica, mm-hmm. that I got into an argument with. But yes, I do remember that.
Okay, so you got into it with Jessica.
Totally forgot
and she
about,
was...
but I can't.
She was my
ex fiance. But
oh, okay. What was her last name?
Yeah, I haven't talked. Brando.
Jessica
but I
Brando?
Haven't talked to her. And what's that?
Jessica Brando.
Yeah, Brando. But she's in Nebraska now. She's going. She just graduated college in Nebraska.
Okay.
But
so you remember
I
that?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So kind of. Take me through that. So how did that actually work out, and who was it that said that to you?
I don't remember who it was that said that. As soon as you said that, it kind of tripped my memory because I remember that happening, and I remember, I think I told Bo about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot remember who that was, but
you do recall something similar?
Yes.
Okay.
And that name Austin just doesn't, it doesn't, I'm sure if I saw a face, I could be like, oh, yeah, I know that, you know, but just the name itself, in you know, 6 years, I haven't heard that name.
Sure.
So I can't, or six, plus what, 8 years now.
Yeah, it's been a few years, yeah. Don't crush your skull thinking about that. But if you do, you know, that little passage right there that we're talking about, you know, if something comes, if it comes, you know, I mean, you know, don't worry about it if it doesn't. But if it does, you know, give me a call back and kind of fill me in. I'd appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, because now that you said that, that totally tripped my brain. And I do remember that because we're at the Westfield Shopping Town in Palm Desert.
What was
it
called? The West what?
The Westfield Shopping Town right there in Palm Desert, the big Palm Desert Mall.
Yeah, where they used to have the ice skating ring. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, man, I really wish I could remember who that was.
That's okay. I mean, we can always, you know, at your leisure, talk if it stimulates your memory. But that would be that'd be great. So just to recap, you don't ever remember being at Jacob's apartment and somebody, possibly a roommate, offering to show you a shotgun.
No, but like I said, a lot of the times that I was over there, I was
different state of mind. Not, huh?
Yeah. So that was back when I used to party a lot. So
okay, not a problem.
But
so what might have happened? You just don't remember.
Yeah. The stuff that I do recall was usually before we ever started drinking or anything like that. And that was the other thing that I thought was pretty weird, too, though, was supposedly Jacob changed his name.
Yeah, well, I've heard the same thing, too, so.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of strange, but maybe he didn't like his name, I don't know.
Yeah. Did you maintain a relationship with Jacob at all after this? I know you said you went over and partied a couple of times after Becky's death, but did that last for
long? That was always with other people because, mm-hmm. like I said, I didn't like Jacob. Mm-hmm. I thought he was pretty weird. I didn't personally like him. So every time I went over to Jacob's, it was with, you know, the Alex Fulon, Bo Nash, Corey Donovan. It was with those guys because I hung out with them, and it just so happened that they hung out with him. So anytime I was over there, it was because everybody else was going there, and I didn't feel like spending the night alone.
Gotcha. I hear you. Hey, I did you hear anything about Jacob having any problems after all this went down as far as the murders? Or did
what
he
kind of problems?
Well,
like?
I mean anything. I mean anything like, noteworthy? Did he go on?
I don't know. Not that I really heard of. I mean, from what I understood, that Jacob really didn't seem too distraught about it, mm-hmm. which was weird since you were dating the girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once they had the argument, though, do you know, were they like officially broke up, or was that just an argument that had couples?
That I don't know. That could have been just an argument that, you know, a normal argument, but Yeah, but as far as I remember, I don't remember him being too tore up about it. But I didn't see him very often after the fact. Like, I saw him maybe a handful of times when I went over there, and then I kind of quit hanging out with that crowd because I had gotten into some trouble. I got arrested for something stupid, and I decided to steal something from Walmart, and I got arrested, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to hang out with these
Time
guys.
Time to turn the bus around, huh?
Yeah. And then that's when I joined the military and haven't really talked to any of those people since then, except for when Bo called me and said that there was a private investigator trying to get a hold of me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Nick, I really appreciate the time you have. I've got lots and lots of work to do and lots of research to do, but, you know, it's always nice to be able to reach out to, you know, people who have, you know, a first-hand recollection, you know, of things, as opposed to, you know, what I might read, or, you know, and it's just good to, you know, make the voice to a name. So, hey, I won't bother your mother anymore. we just wanted to.
She had told me you called, and I told her, I was like, yeah, I'll call him back, but I've been all hopped up on pain pills the last couple of days because I go into surgery on Friday. I just broke my hand on Saturday, and I got to get a plate put in there. But yeah, I was dealing with doctor's appointments and everything else for the last couple of days, and then she called. I totally forgot about it, and then she called me today, and she's like, "Hey, can you call this guy?" And I was like, "Oh crap, yeah." So,
I do appreciate it, and if it's okay with you, if I do have a question or two that I need to bounce off you a little bit later, are you okay with me giving you a call again?
Yeah, that's fine. This is my phone number. So
okay,
like I said, if you find yourself needing to ask me a question on Friday, though, I'll be under the knife on Friday. So
not a problem. I won't do that. Yeah. If I called you, it would probably be tomorrow. Like I said, it's sometimes it's kind of good to, you know, let the conversation, you know, kind of sit in, and if maybe there's some things that, you know, we can tighten up on or clarify or negate or whatever, then I can follow up with you. And like I said, I'd appreciate that. So if you're okay with that, I'll do that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, if you have any other questions, just feel free to give me a call. I'd like to see, you know, some kind of justice done and see if they can actually catch somebody that did this. So
I do appreciate that. I think we all feel the same way, Nick.
So other than that, is we good to go for
we're
today?
Good to go, and good luck with the surgery on Friday. And like I said, don't be surprised, I may give you a call again. But thank you so much.
No problem, sir.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Goodbye.
You were up at 4, baking pastries at 5, and open at 6. 100th cappuccino by 8, 200th customer by 9, and there's still 12 hours to go. That's why you need a business broadband that works as hard as you do. Introducing Sky Business. With 4G internet backup and our Stay Connected guarantee, that's better business. To find out more, visit skybusiness.com. Sky Fiber only, 30-second 4G activation or one-off credit. New customers, Pro Plus packs only. T's and C's apply.